Welcome to A Pastoral Approach, a site of blogs and podcasts intended to help you grow and be strengthened in the one true faith of Jesus Christ as we approach the day of His coming. We trust the Lord will add His blessing to this, the teaching of His most holy word.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning does come to us from Matthew's Gospel, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the temple, and God will send his angels to you." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And again the devil said to him, "All the kingdoms of the world and their glory I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him. Thus far the text. My dear friends in Christ, as we are now in this Lenten season, we can't help but notice that there has been a seemingly significant shift in emotion here. Not only is the color on the altar and other paraments and vestments significantly different than the white we had last week, the music is different, perhaps a little bit more deliberate and penitential. Our attitudes maybe even seem different, and this is rightly so. For Lent is a penitential time in which we follow our Lord Jesus Christ's journey to the cross. We know that our sins are what led him to that tree. Everything seems a little bit different in the church right now. Yet the thing that remains the same, perhaps the only thing, is the Word of God. For in this, the Word of God, we do follow Jesus to the cross, but we follow him as he willingly goes for the forgiveness of sins, your sins. You may indeed cry and weep this season, and that is good. But cry and weep in joy as well, for Jesus has taken your sins upon him on the cross. Lent always brings us to Easter Sunday, when we exclaim with loud voices and song what it is that Jesus has done for us. And the church here is great. For Lenten penitence leads us to Easter joy, which leads us to see that which Christ has done for the church, which leads to Advent and expectation, which leads to then resurrection hope, and we go around and it is good. All these things throughout the church here, they are all contained within the Word of God. Today's gospel text, as well, contained in the Word of God, then leads us to a season of hope, even in this Lenten season. For Christ, in this passage, is shown to fulfill all righteousness, even for our imperfections. Christ today conquered the temptations of Satan in the gospel. Satan brought him things which he thought he could use to trip Christ up. Being a perfect man, Christ always, though, chooses and has chosen to obey the will of God. And he did not fall. Now, some might ask, and this is a good question, how is it that Jesus could be tempted to sin if he had no sinful nature? Remember that Christ has been made like you in every way, except without sin. He did not inherit this from his mother, as we have all done. Christ instead has taken on human flesh in order that he wants to be all that you are, except with no sin of his own. For he, instead of having his own sin, takes yours. And he has crucified that sin so that it can no longer stand to accuse you. Christ cannot sin, for he never can choose sin. Whatever he chooses to do is good. But that doesn't mean, however, that he can't be tempted. Remember that. Temptation itself is not sin. It's not. Our desire to give into temptation is sin, or doing what temptation asks us to do is sin. But God has given us gifts instead of temptation. He's given us gifts like food, or a marital spouse, or a little bumblebee that gets thrown at the altar. Good job. It's a good arm right there. He gives us a house. He gives us land. He gives us animals. He gives us all that we have. And the devil can take it. And he can take any of those things and he can pervert them and he can tempt us to sin. And so because of that temptation, we have gluttony and greed. We have premarital and extramarital sexual relations. We have excess of stuff. We have love of material things. These are perversions of Satan. He loves to pervert the good gifts of God. And so he does. And so do we too. But Jesus, he never gave into temptation to pervert these gifts of God. In fact, he did the exact opposite of what got the human race into trouble with sin in the first place. Jesus, in these 40 days, is undoing for you the questions and answers of Genesis 3, which we read this morning. The serpent said to Eve, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" Already, he's twisting God's word. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Now, did God say that? No. God said, "Don't eat," not "don't touch." And yet Eve here added to the word of God, for she followed the tricky line of thought that Satan took her down. I don't know why she did it, but she did. And she changed the course of the world in this way, leading her into the first sin of humanity. And yet Jesus doesn't do this. The devil says, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." If. It's a little word with big consequences. If. Jesus is certainly the Son of God. God told him so, and he told the whole world in Jesus' baptism, just one chapter prior to today's gospel lesson. But the devil tries to cast his doubts even upon Jesus. If you are, then do this. If you aren't, then you can't. But Jesus doesn't go along with the ploy. Instead, answering the devil, he says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The word of God is our daily bread. And in it, we find all things that we truly need. Knowledge of Christ, words of forgiveness and comfort, words of longing, knowledge of the sacraments, and the sacraments, all the sacraments, these are the word of God too. It made manifest in physical, tangible forms for you. And so it is even for Theodore this morning, that he has received the word of God in his little ears and upon his forehead, washing him in the renewing blood of Jesus Christ. Theodore has been created in Christ. He has been given faith in Christ by the Holy Spirit, and so he now even hears the word of God and receives it gladly. And so shall he continue to do, to hear words of forgiveness and comfort, words of longing, knowledge of the sacraments, even to one day where he is able to receive the Lord's body and blood in his mouth. He has been fed by the word of God, and so too are we. And in this way, Jesus conquers the devil's temptation even for you. You do not need to follow the devil. You do not need to follow his thought, but answer with the word of God, "I am baptized. I am forgiven. I receive the Lord every time in his supper." This is the word of God. But the devil doesn't end there, does he, with Jesus? Instead, now, he takes scripture and rips it out of context, telling Jesus that if he should throw himself down off the top of the temple, the Lord God will send angels to keep him safe. But do you see how this isn't what the scriptures are saying? After all, I don't just climb up to the top of our bell tower and throw myself off on a daily basis. I don't expect God to send his angels to catch me. I would expect instead to hit the ground hard. So instead, we have to look at what the devil is saying. And in these verses, we find that we know that it's talking about how the Lord will protect us, even if we should stumble in our faiths. Even then, he shall forgive us our sins. The Lord will protect us this way. And so Jesus tells Satan, you shall not test the Lord your God. But in this, Jesus wasn't just saying to Satan that Jesus can't throw himself down off the temple because that would somehow be testing the Father. I guess that's part of it. But Jesus is becoming more stern with Satan. The very angel which he created in the beginning to serve him, and yet who chose to war against God and his angels, Jesus grows more stern because when he says, you shall not test the Lord your God, Jesus is reminding Satan that Satan should not test Jesus. Satan is sinning here. Big surprise, Jesus says. Satan is testing God. And that's not what we or anyone, including the devil, should do. Instead, we should trust God. We trust Jesus. For even here we see that the Lord has overcome the testing of the devil. If Satan tests God and God prevails, if Satan tests Jesus and Jesus prevails, then indeed we can know that no one and no thing can overcome the power and will of the Lord. For even should we fail, even should we sin, even should we stumble in our faiths, the Lord still has us in his hand. For we continue to come and hear the word of God. We continue to receive the sacrament of the altar. We continue to remember that we are baptized people of God, just like Theodore, and none can snatch us from his hand. And so Jesus has overcome the devil yet again. But the Lord is not yet done here. For Satan has one more word, showing Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and saying that if only Jesus will bow down and worship Satan, he will give Jesus all the kingdoms and all their glory as if it were Satan's to give. But Jesus still does not yet succumb. For even here, as in every other temptation, all this is one more attempt to stop Jesus from fulfilling what he was sent to earth to do. Redeem his people from their sins, death, and the devil. Now you got to remember, Satan, not having all knowledge, not being omniscient like God, likely has no idea that the cross is in store for Jesus. All he knows is that if he can distract Jesus enough, whatever it is the Lord has in mind to save his people, Satan can stop it. Or so he thinks. The only thing that Satan wants, he doesn't really want Jesus' worship. He knows he won't get that. The only thing he wants is for God's people to stop worshiping God. Satan wants you in hell. But Jesus overcomes and prevails yet again. He answers with a mighty, "Be gone!" echoing even what Satan must have heard from the mouth of God in heaven after Satan's rebellion. And then he reminds Satan of one thing before he leaves. It's not that Jesus should only worship and serve the Father, though that's true. It is that Satan does not worship and serve the Father, the only thing he was created to do. And because of that, Jesus is declaring, Satan is done. Not only does Jesus persevere in the temptations put out by Satan, Jesus destroys Satan's words with the Word of God, the Word that Jesus himself inspired. The word that proceeds from his mouth, the word that stands forever. But Jesus also then destroys Satan's power to accuse you. How so? You know, and I know, that you don't worship God alone. You know that you have broken all of the commandments. You know that you have all the idols you can possibly gather and that they have sprung from your heart. And so does Satan. Satan has all those things too. But Jesus doesn't. Jesus alone here defeated Satan. And Jesus then gives to you his righteousness, his right standing in the eyes of God, his defeat of sin, death, and the devil, his conquering over Satan. This was given to you in your baptisms. You have been washed with his blood. You have been cleaned by his renewal. You have been made new by his regeneration. And you have been given a new identity that goes with Jesus's. Remember in his baptism, "This is my beloved Son." That was said over you. You have been given this new identity. You are a child of God, and none can take that away from you. In your baptism, you have Jesus' death and resurrection to new life. In your baptism, he has your death and torment. In your baptism, you have Jesus' righteousness. In your baptism, Jesus has your sin. In your baptism, you have the right worship of the Father. In your baptism, Jesus has your idols. Do you see the hope today? Not only does Satan get the beatdown to end all beatdowns, not only is he kicked in the shin and has it recorded for all of history, Satan's defeated by the Word of God. The Word of God that continues to come to us even today. The Word of God that comes into our ears and into our mouths, onto our heads, sits in our hearts, and rests upon our minds. The Word of God is powerful, and you have it. You shall always have it. So now in this Lenten season, yes, the shift of emotion and tone is noticeable. The colors, the music, our attitudes, they're all different. But the thing that remains the same as we follow Jesus to the cross is the Word of God. For there we see Jesus go to the cross, and we see him go willingly for the forgiveness of sins, your sins. You may indeed cry and weep this Lenten season, but cry and weep also in joy. For the Lord who has defeated Satan in his temptation has borne for you the punishment that brings to all peace. He has defeated Satan by his words. And soon we shall see and be reminded that Jesus has also defeated Satan by his very action upon the cross for the forgiveness of all your sins, by Jesus rising from the dead for your justification, and Jesus' promise that you too shall have all that he has, his righteousness, holiness, and everlasting life forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Louis Polzin. I'm glad you've joined us as we've made our way through the Scriptures. If you're looking to learn more about God's Word, please listen to my other podcast with co-host Pastor Daniel Price at boarsinthevineyard.com. If you're in the Bemidji, Minnesota area and you're looking for a new church home or just have questions, I encourage you to contact us at Trinity in Bemidji at 218-444-4441. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and always.